Everyone, welcome back. This is, episode is this now?
13?
Is it 13 or is it?
Yeah,
11, 12, 13. So yeah, episode 13. I can't count. welcome back to episode 13 of the Two Johns Science Sci-Fi Podcast.
Right.
We took a brief intermission and now we're going to...
Get my nose.
We're going to go. We're going to turn and burn for the last hour.
Right. And what we're going to do this first hour is talk about... short films.
Yes.
And discuss a few that we have watched. We didn't watch the same ones.
No.
So we're not, I guess we won't be doing conventional reviews the way we normally do. Just discussing what we liked about them and what we don't like about them.
Yeah. Nice shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Familiar view.
I almost didn't buy it because I was just standing there doing it, looking at it. But, yeah, so we each watched, I watched three, I don't remember, did you watch three? I wanted to get three that were...
I did watch three. I was trying to think, because I mean, I've watched so many, I did watch three.
On Dust, at watchdust.com.
Yeah.
And I was impressed with all three of the ones I watched, and so...
I'm impressed with the production value of all three.
Wow.
Yeah, so definitely, but there are parts of it that were... You know, if I were to say anything, I would say, if you're going to make small films, definitely don't skimp on the writer. Find somebody who's, like, just, you know,
right.
Going to crush the writing for you.
Yeah. I can definitely see, although it wasn't evinced in any of the ones I watched, I can definitely see someone who, because they're good at the, the equipment, they can use the equipment. And
the visual effects are up.
The visual effects and stuff like that, that they might think that, well, I'll just write the script, too.
Yes. Some of the visual effects are, like, better than, like, Sci-Fi Channel
visual effects.
Like, many of them, actually.
But in a lot of cases, I would say, but not in mine. I thought that the ones that I did were well written.
So I will say this before we get into so we couldn't really find a movie to watch. We were originally going to watch Battle Angel Alita.
And then they pushed it forward.
They pushed it forward.
Right.
Back? They pushed it back.
How would you say? Well, they pushed it to December.
Right, so it's not going to be released until December, which hasn't bode well, by the way.
And there was no other,
nothing else to really review. So, what we decided to do, because we've been talking about this for some time, was watch the movies on Dust. And in case you don't know what Dust is it's like a YouTube for science fiction shorts.
Right.
Which is a fantastic idea. Like, they're already bought or something.
It not only is a fantastic idea, its execution is fantastic.
Yes.
The only thing that I was confused about, I couldn't find a search function.
Yeah.
To find, like, the specific, like, if I, keyword, I watched one, and then I wanted to go back and get some information from it, and I basically just had to go through.
Yeah.
And maybe it's built to be that way, but I think if they had, or maybe I'm just too stupid to find the search function. That could also be. User error.
He's thinking.
I'm thinking.
So, anyway, so check out Dust, because it's like, they've got literally, like, tons and tons of short films, and your mileage is going to vary. It's like Netflix in a way, except you don't have to pay for it, and you don't have to go through like a whole hour or something to find. You know what I mean? Like, you can watch it and be like, okay, that was not a very good movie, but it was only 5 minutes. It was only 7 minutes. It was only 11 minutes. So definitely check it out. Dust is awesome. I really wish that Dust would produce some merch by now, because I would be wearing a Dust T-shirt.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yes, I would like to have that.
Dust. Take note, please. So we chose a few movies each.
Yep.
They're short movies.
At random, and we didn't coordinate it.
Right.
Because the whole idea of Dust is, it's like he said, it's the kind of place you can go and browse.
Right.
So it's more reflective of reality if we go there and browse and just pick out something that is interesting.
Yeah. So I'll do one, you do one.
Yep,
I'll
that sounds good. That sounds
okay, great. So what did I... So I watched three movies. I watched... And actually, I watched three movies in a series, and one was I watched Automata, which is a series. I watched a movie called Hyperlight.
I saw that one, and I almost picked it.
Okay. Yeah, it's... and then there was one called Lunatique, which I have no idea if it's French or not, but I assume it is. It's Lunatique, T-I-Q-U-E.
Oh, yeah, that's either French or...
And I'm actually going to start with that one, even though it was the last one I named, because I had the most to say about it in terms of how it was filmed. And it's post-apocalyptic. You know, humanity apparently is almost completely vanished. It's this one lone person who's walking around this abandoned city, which may be Paris, I don't know. Actually, I don't think it's Paris, because there was no parking trail. Anyway, and the cool thing about it was some of the... You weren't really... It was very Adam Punk. That was the thing that I liked about it. Adam Punk was like... Adam Punk, for those of you who don't know, is an aesthetic within science fiction that covers, say, the mid-40s. So anything after the atomic bomb up until, like, the 60s.
Right.
You know, the 60s or 70s. Anyway, and the armor was kind of retro-futuristic, so Adam Punk... She was carrying, like a World War II carbine, which was interesting. But the cool thing about it was in the visual effects, because it was all in black and white. And one of the things that I found particularly interesting about that was that in the beginning, in the opening of the movie, the fact that they had desaturated, instead of using a low depth of field, they completely desaturated it. And what it did was it made it look more realistic.
Really?
Yeah. So the particle effects from like these ash coming down, and this sort of cityscape that they'd done in CG or visual effects, maybe even that artistry from a distance. And I was like, wow, that looks more realistic than if they had filmed in color.
Right.
Or, you know, use a lower depth of
film. Because it looked archival, maybe?
I just think that the fact that it was desaturated covered up some of the things that you might have otherwise noticed.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? But it was a good call on the part of the director. And being like, you know what? Let's do some black and white. So if they made it into a longer movie, I would probably watch it. Even though I wasn't crazy about the idea that there was like a creature in it. But the cool thing is that she had this little Adam Punk Geiger counter that would tell her when the creature was kind of near.
Was it campy? Because it seemed like Adam Punk would be campy.
You would think so, but because there was no talking in it, there was sound, but there was no dialogue.
Okay.
So it wasn't campy at all. It was impossible. But it was. I thought it was well made.
Wow.
I would definitely check it out for no other reason than it might get your palate wet for something for another episode. Yeah.
All right, we'll start. I've taken notes. People are probably looking at my phone and they're, why don't they put your phone down? I actually have my notes.
Make a phone call or just...
I know, that's the point.
To it.
I think this is my mom. Hello?
Just kidding. I'm thinking, Mom.
I picked three that I specifically picked them because their main images and their descriptions were very different from each other. I wanted to get a sort of range. I wanted to sort of see, you know, a good range so that I was giving the site its fair shake. And I picked Apocalypse Now, Bad Peter, and Little Thing. And let me start with Bad Peter so we can talk about this. It was written and directed by Zach Strauss, and it had one actor. It was actress Frankie Shaw, who was playing actually, they had a voice actor, too, but I didn't get the name of the voice actor. But it was a woman, a woman who was pregnant, and her personal assistant, much like an Echo or something like that, essentially telling her what she needs to do to keep her baby, telling her how many ounces of almonds to eat, and how many ounces of fish oil, and guiding her through this. And what you start to realize as the story progresses is that she doesn't have a choice to say no, because when she tries to say no and tries to lie to the assistant, who is the Bad Peter of the title, about there being any fish oil, because she doesn't like it, it makes her nauseated, and he insists that she do it. When she lies to him and says that there isn't any left, and he knows because he's controlling the inventory that she's lying, that's when a collar around her neck, which you didn't really notice because it just looked like it might be a decoration,
mm-hmm.
shocks the living daylights out of her. And so...
Wait, and she's pregnant?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
And so through this whole thing, he keeps, you know, telling her she has to get up and do exercise, and he puts music on and tells her to dance, and starts to tell her that that the child is going to have a better a better childhood if there is a man involved. So he's signing her up for dating sites, and that's when she loses it. Like, that's when she's had absolutely the last straw. I won't tell you what happens after that, but it was a very very dystopian. A little elements of 1984 in it, little elements of base Hal from Space Odyssey.
Okay.
And but I found it very very well made. It was very tight, and yet something else that I liked about it was in that particular one is that despite that it was short format, and I think that one was under 10 minutes, there was still a sort of non-rushed patience to the way that the story, like, you never felt like a heart got hurt and get the story out. It was really like
the, well, the tempo was,
yeah, there. You would see how tempted you would be, but the tempo of the film I thought was very very appropriate to it. It just slowly ramps up, and at first it's kind of cute and nice, and here's this woman, she's gonna have a baby, and just the menace just gradually increases throughout until the, you know, everything starts to go haywire. You should really watch it and see what eventually happens.
It's called Bad Peter.
Bad Peter.
Check out Bad Peter on Dust.
It's Bad Peter, and it was written and directed by Zach Strauss.
Cool.
And the actress, Frankie Shaw, she also does a really good job.
That sounds interesting. I'll have to check that one out. Okay. So I did one, what was my second one? Hyperlight. I'm going to save Automata for last. So my second was Hyperlight. I wasn't as diligent as you were in terms of recording the director's name and that kind of stuff. But those are things that you will be able to see once you watch the movie on Dust.
Right.
And I watched Hyperlight, which actually had a couple of actors who were, like, you know, not super famous, but I've seen them in other things before. And I forget their names. But when you watch the movie, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
And it's it starts with this woman who's, like, in this kind of life pod, and she's trying to get back to her ship, and she's kind of confused about how she ended up in the life pod because the ship's right there. And anyway, and
that's a weird place to start.
It's a weird place to start. It was interesting, and honestly, I was probably a little tough on it when I first saw it. But number one, the production value of the movie was, I mean, the production value for most of these movies is really, really awesome.
Yeah, I think so too.
Anyway, and so she ends up getting the other life pod, which is also ejected, and ends up being her crewmate, and they get back on the ship, and she, you know, he's unconscious, and then she revives him, and then all of a sudden, like, once that she's on the ship, and she revives him, or actually, she doesn't revive him, she gets on the ship, and she finds that her crewmate is already on the ship, and she's got this other person from a, you know, from a pod who looks exactly like him, and, you know,
oh, that's never good.
It gets kind of crazy from
that's
there.
Never good.
Anyway, and I'm not going to tell anything else about it. Get to kind of figure out what's going on. I mean, when you watch it yourself, but it was a good movie. It was well made.
That sounds interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. So that's my. That wasn't a very long review.
Good.
I mean, it was.
Well, it wasn't a very long film.
That's true. But the other interesting thing about some of these movies also is they make really good use of space.
Yes.
And I don't mean
yes.
like I don't mean space as in
outer space.
I mean they make really good use of, you know. In some of these movies, I'm pretty sure the sets are no bigger than this set. I mean,
yeah.
So they make really good use of the spaces that they're filming. So,
yeah, a lot of the cinematography in a lot of these is just. But like I said, I lucked out. I got three good ones, and I don't really have much to complain about any of them. So let me go into the second one, which I watched. It was called Apocalypse Now. Now.
I like that title already.
Yeah, written by Michael Matthews. And I'll tell you what, I did... Maybe I do have something negative to say about this one. Because it was a lot of stuff packed in the sense that it seemed like the trailer for a feature film.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this much larger story. It starts out with this kid saying that he... he didn't know how many people he had killed, and he'd been accused of killing his girlfriend, and now he was on the run with this guy who was, I believe, a bounty hunter of some kind. And it was a very, District 9 type of setting going on around them. And they, as a matter of fact, I think this was a South African film, their accents. It's the kid and this really, guy with like scraggly beard, basic rough guy, right? With a vehicle that's about to fall apart and he's just going, listen, kid, you know, that guy.
Right.
And, but their banter was really good as this guy was driving the kid somewhere. And then, the banter was good. The dialogue was really good. And the banter was funny in a very feature film way. Right? You know what I mean? Like, it was very competent in the sense that you could definitely see that if someone had told me that this was an extended trailer for a film, I would have believed them in a second.
Yes.
And then the, but the way that the whole thing develops, that backstory never seems to get in there. What happens is that the guy takes the kid to this alley in the middle of several junkyards, kills a rat, makes a circle with the rat's blood around the kid, says, don't get out of the circle, and then summons an electric elemental, which he then proceeds to be, you know, a battle and all this other stuff going on.
Yeah.
Which is apparently this kid's awakening to the world is weirder. World is weirder
than you were led to believe.
Than you were led to believe. And the kid at the end of it, as it's sort of coming really close to his face, and he said something to the effect of, I think I'm going to like this world. So, you know what I mean? And it was very good. Like, the thing is, it just left me wanting. I want to see the rest of this movie.
I think that's kind of the point, though.
And I think, yeah, I do really think so. I think that, like, the first one that I reviewed, the point of it is to show the storytelling ability of the writer and the writer-director. And I think that this one was, hey, let us make this movie.
Because yes.
It's going to be awesome. And I think they should be able to make the movie. Apocalypse Now should be in theaters. Absolutely.
I do want to sort of take a little side, a brief detour, which is, there is a movie, and I don't know if it aired on Dust originally, but I know it aired on YouTube, a short movie, that has been made into a feature movie that's airing this year. And the movie was called Bagman, and it was an awesome short film. So I remember posting this on Fresh Pulp like 2 years ago, maybe three, and it was this kid who had a duffel bag. And you see him like walking through like New York or Brooklyn, like, you know, and he gets on a bus and he goes out in the middle of nowhere, and these guys start following him, and they're like, hey, kid, what's in the bag? And he opens the bag, reaches in, and it's like an alien like pulse rifle, and he just starts
blowing. Oh,
right.
I think I have seen that.
So they made a movie out of that. So like these, and just so people understand why I'm so excited about that, I sort of feel like if you look at what Netflix is doing, and Amazon and Hulu, and how they revolutionize streaming, and how we get our content, I think you're going to start seeing more of this.
Yeah,
you're going to see more of these short movies, and that's why they're being produced and made, because they're just test beds.
They're resumes,
right?
Sort of,
and test beds. Like, right. You know, checking out,
yeah,
right. Who liked this concept, and how we used it again, and whatever. And I think that that's a smart. We talked about doing something like this years ago, remember?
Right, we did,
about having like our own science fiction channel, which, you know, as it turns out, costs billions of dollars.
Yes.
Anyway.
We're not those kids.
No, it's all right. Are you done with your second review?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I'm on to my third review, which is Automata, which is actually a series. It's a short series of like seven movies, I think, and only about eight or between like 9 and 10 minutes long. And it's kind of like an alternate past, like Prohibition era, but there's robots.
Oh, that's kind of weird.
It's supposed to be kind of noir, because like a detective.
Oh, see, now I got
to
watch it.
So there's like a detective and a robot, like as a robot partner, and robots are obviously they're sentient, and there's a lot of robot bigotry, anti-robot bigotry.
Always with the robot bigotry.
Yes. Damn, bucket of bolts. Anyway. And there's a murder, and he has to solve it, and,
that's very, yeah.
So, I mean, it's very police procedurally, the thing is, that if they were going for noir, they didn't nail it.
Really? Okay, so that's going to make me hard on it. Because I'm going to, that to me is something unforgivable. I'll be comparing it to the Ray Electromatic series in my head, so, which the Ray Electromatic series totally nails it. I mean, it sounds like Raymond Chandler wrote a science fiction story. That's how good.
See, now I have to read that.
And it is just, you know, but yeah, but I'll watch it.
In terms of the aesthetic, they didn't nail it. I mean, and the really interesting thing about it is there are things that they could have done that were very simple. That
they could have.
Watch the Maltese Falcon, you know?
Right.
Watch
The Big Sleep.
Watch the Big Sleep. Watch any of that stuff. And I think that, like, even though it's black and white, they could have captured, because for me, it was too saturated. The colors were too, I don't want to say they were flat, but it looked more like, it didn't look like a feature at all. Which, I don't know if they were going for that or not, but it wasn't dark enough.
Right.
You know, I mean, the aesthetic wasn't dark enough. So I didn't get this sense of urgency. I didn't get a sense of anything other than they were telling the story. I mean, it was a good story. It was interesting. And they did a good job. The robots, I didn't like. I didn't like the look of them. They were too, you know, like, weird looking.
Were they android? Like, did they look like humans? Or
they were humanoid. They were humanoid, but they had, like, a... I don't know. It's kind of hard to explain. They just couldn't... I didn't like the look of them. I felt like they detracted from the overall aesthetic. So,
two different designers.
Yeah. So I would recommend watching it because it's good entertainment and the story is good and it's fairly well written. But there were some things that kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
Obviously, it probably will rub me the wrong way because I'm kind of I don't like bad noir. Who does? I really don't I'm a fan of the genre.
Well, the funny thing is that noir by its nature is supposed to be a little bad, but it's like bad
but
than bad.
Morally bad, but not like badly done.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like when it's badly done. Because a lot of people, it's one of those genres that, well, like sci-fi suffers from this too, and fantasy also, that people think they know it, and all they really know are the cliches. And so, that's, yeah.
Yes.
The last one, which I picked specifically because, and I said this, that it was very different from the other two, I saw that it was animated. And it's a little thing. And it was very much like a Pixar short in how short its arc was. Mm-hmm. But unlike a Pixar short, it was following this little creature around through a city, and it looked like he was about this big, and he looked kind of like Cuber from the old 80s arcade game. Remember with the big honking nose?
Yes.
And right, he had like stripes around his snout. This little creature, and he was hopping around, and he was trying to interact with pigeons, and then he was trying to sing out to try to attract something, you know, others of his own kind of way. But it was very cute. The concept of having a little cute thing hop around and do stuff is very Pixar. But the color scheme and the way that the CGI was blended into the real backgrounds was very much. I don't know how to describe it, that it was desaturated colors. It looked like, the colors looked very much like if you had a 50-year-old copy of a Dr. Seuss book and all the ink had faded.
Yes.
And so there were these very dark mustard oranges, and it was beautiful in a way that a lot of animation isn't. You know, a lot of animation relies on having colors that pop, you know, like Elsa's blue dress and it's just in your face. But it was very subtle, very toned down, and there was fuzziness to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it looked like if you reach out and touch this creature, it would feel like velvet, and it was just a different texture than you normally see in animated feature or animated, whether they're short films or features. I like that a lot, and the story itself is, of course, a typical. You can imagine how it gets cute.
Yeah.
After that, and I don't want to spoil it because it's very much worth watching. But what really got me was how utterly different all three of these films were, and yet they were all, I think, top notch. You know, I kind of was worried that the site would be one of these places where a whole bunch of cyberpunk wannabes were going and just throwing out all their. But no, every one of these, one of them was a very tight, personal, sci-fi story about the real, like a real world that's only slightly more advanced than ours.
Yeah.
And it was all very, very touching on topical issues. And then the other one was just an adventurous, you know, romping, stomping, typical sci-fi feature film with monsters coming up out of the ground and a kid who may or may not have special powers. And that I could definitely see making $1 billion.
You heard it here, folks.
You're a fool, and you deserve to be poor if you don't make that into a feature film.
John Nelson is calling it $1 billion.
Right, but then the third one was it's one of those little cartoons
it was a little feedback.
Yeah, a little feedback. He's working on feedback and being a good podcaster and sound.
It was feedback from the podcast, but also I'm sending feedback. So I'm responding to one of you out there in podcast land.
But so, getting back to the third one that I watched, which was Little Thing, it was very well done, and it was well done in a way that, like these sorts of animations should be, where adults and children can watch and they both appreciate it. And, I liked all three of them. I liked them in different ways, but I thought that they were all three very well done, and it does show that Dust has a diverse set of artists working.
Yes.
Not just a bunch of people doing one thing. I really like it.
But I think it also shows, like, at least in terms of innovation, prop building, sets, visual effects, I think that the short film industry is beginning to outstrip the streaming platforms and especially networks.
Right.
So, and I think that because streaming platforms are beginning to tap into this, I think that it almost guarantees the longevity of platforms like Amazon,
which
we'll get into more in the next episode, just coming out.
Right. There are probably just simple strategies that are forced upon people who are starting out that the big platforms don't necessarily think about because they've got money to spare. But when you're just starting out and you're counting every penny, you figure out ways to get things done.
Yes.
And you innovate in a way that money bags people. No offense, Amazon and Netflix, but you guys are rich. And so, signing off those requisitions and budget things is a whole lot easier when you've got bank.
Yes.
So, are we...
We're coming at the end. I'm just sort of helping someone find us.
Right.
We're at the end of this episode. We're moving into episode 14.
Yes, we're moving into 14, and... Please remember, these are all eligible for the Loot Crate, aren't they?
They're all eligible for the Loot Crate, so give them a like and share.
Right, the Loot Crate is, this week, is this fantastic t-shirt.
Yes, and?
And a copy of An Ocean of Minutes by Theo Lim, a book that I loved, and John
liked. I love less.
Yes.
So, I have to remind you, this all only works, number one, you guys have been showing up. We're happy about that.
Yes, fantastic.
We're averaging, even though the live stream is a little lean, we're averaging 300 to 400 views of the live streams once they go up on the various social media platforms. So that's great.
Fantastic.
So you guys are showing up for us. We're really happy about that. Thank you very much. But we also appreciate your support when you like and share. Obviously, Loot Crate eligibility once you like and share and comment. And also, if you want to go buy us a coffee, ad hoc, you can do $1, $2, $5, whatever you want.
If you do go to buy us a coffee, then maybe John won't be the only one with a coffee.
I know. I'm so whatever. Anyway, we can get an espresso machine from the studio.
Oh, yeah.
I'm kidding. We would never use our money that way. And also, you can go to Patreon, which, also, if you feel like you want to do a recurring donation, you're more than welcome to do that. But thank you for tuning in for this one. We're going to pause, and I mean literally take a 10-second pause, and roll into episode 14.
On the same stream.
On the same stream.
Right. So we're staying here.
We're staying here.
But we're just going to not move for a couple of seconds.
We do have to get the sound profile also. Noise profile.
Oh, yeah, that's true.